The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So in thinking about how we practice with challenges in Buddhist practice or in meditation practice, it might be useful to consider there are three different ways, general ways, categories of ways to deal with things that are difficult. And each of them is appropriate sometimes, and each of them is inappropriate sometimes. And part of wisdom and part of the exploration is to figure out which is appropriate at different times. So one approach is to ignore it. And people usually don't associate mindfulness practice with ignoring what's going on. But sometimes it's helpful to ignore or to avoid. Sometimes if we focus on something, it makes it stronger. Sometimes if we ignore it or avoid it, it just lets something settle away and kind of no longer grabs us. So for example, thinking. If you're bothered by your thinking, then focusing on your thinking will just make you more bothered. And you just spin out in more thoughts. And sometimes it's better with thinking just to ignore the fact that you're thinking and pour whatever attention you have into your breathing. And just let your thinking do whatever it does in the background, it'll settle down by itself. So ignoring it might be the best thing to do. Or, if you're very stressed out at work, it could be that staying at work way into the evening is not going to help you that much. Maybe you need to go home at 5, and go and go exercise, go for a walk, have a nice meal, take a nap, have a nice night's sleep. And then perhaps you come back in a refreshed way and you can deal with the issue with a fresh mind, open mind, and then you'll see the situation in new ways that you couldn't see it if you stayed enmeshed in the situation. I'm just being mindful of it, I'm going to stay and work through it. Maybe you better take a break and get a fresh perspective. So there's many times in life where avoiding ignoring is very helpful and strategic. And there are certainly times when ignoring and avoiding is really a big problem. Problems can fester, they can get worse, they can continue, they can keep coming back and biting unless they're really addressed. Ignoring is then closely related to repressing, to repress it and then it comes back and bites also in other ways. So part of wisdom is to know when it's appropriate and when it's not appropriate. The other approach is to let go. And often Buddhism is associated with letting go. Just let go of the problem. So it's different than ignoring, or avoiding, but it's some way about how we hold the problem, how we hold our relationship to it, how we hold ourselves in relationship to it. There might be some attachment, some clinging, some attitude we have. We just let go. Just let go of that. So, for example, you might be feeling tense in your meditation practice, and so you look at what is that tension about? It might be because you have a perfectionist streak in your meditation. You're supposed to be the perfect meditator at IMC today. And you better do it right, otherwise you're not perfect. And so you realize, what I need to do is not avoid this tendency to be perfectionist. I have to let go of it. And perhaps you can let go of it. Once you see it, maybe you can just let go and lighten up on it. So letting go is sometimes a very direct way and very powerful thing to do in situations where things are challenging. What do I have to let go of here? So, for example, in some situations, it can be very useful to let go of the need to be right, or let go of our attachment, our, our, the importance of having my opinion here, or let go of needing to be seen a certain way by other people. Maybe it's an uncomfortable situation, maybe people are not behaving properly even, but the hook that keeps us, you know, struggling with the situation is not the situation, but that it's really important that we are seen a certain way by other people. But maybe there's no need to be seen any particular way. Let them see us the way they see us. It's, you know, it's okay. And so you let go of the need to be seen a certain way. So there's a lot of things to let go of, and that can be very helpful to do that. It's not helpful to let go when the letting go is a denial of something. That's integral to what it means to be a human being. People let go of inappropriate things sometimes. What needs to be let go of is our is our clinging to things, not the things of the world. So you find sometimes people let go of their money, or they let go of their possessions, let go of some of their relationship, let go of their sexuality, because they think, oh, having money or being sexual or having possessions, that's not spiritual. So let's just let go of all this stuff. And so they kind of sometimes deny and let go of something that's integral to what it means to be a human being. And it can come back and cause problems if you let go in the wrong way. Another problem with letting go is that it's only temporary. Or we let go, we only let go of the kind of surface symptoms of the situation, and the deeper causes, the roots of the difficulty, the challenge, are not addressed. And so you might have to let go a lot. It keeps coming up over and over again, and it just, and sometimes maybe keeps making a problem over and over again in our life. And so just letting go is not going to be very helpful. So the first approach is to ignore or avoid. The second approach is to let go, to see what do I have to let go of here. And the third approach is to go into and through the situation. This is much more the mindfulness approach generally, is to really be present for what's there, and be present and mindful in a respectful way, not trying to push it away, not trying to ignore it, not trying to hold on to it, but really to see what's really going on here, to investigate, to be present, to let it show itself. What's really the situation all about? And so to go, you know, rather than avoiding a situation or letting go of the challenge, is you go through the challenge and go to the other side and see what happens. In that regard, there's a kind of cliche that's used sometimes in our circles, maybe other circles as well, that the quickest way to go from A to B is to completely be A. So it's not a matter of focusing on getting to B, but really entering into A, entering into this situation, what's going on now. So if you're angry, for example, it's not, you know, maybe you want to let go of the anger, you want to find resolution of the anger. But maybe a powerful way of doing that is just allow yourself to be completely angry in a safe way. And the safe way is to do it in meditation. That's one place it's safe, where you really feel it, and you're present for it, not pushing it away, not doing anything, but really being present, and then going into it in a sense, and seeing what's there, seeing what needs to be expressed, what needs to be to show itself, you know, see what's going on in a deeper way that you can't see if you're avoiding or denying or repressing, or even if you're letting go, you can't really see what's the deeper thing going on. So you go through it, go into it and through it. And I think that this is in some ways the one of the hallmarks of mindfulness practice is this last approach, because mindfulness is to respect everything. In a sense, trust everything, but not to trust that it's trustable, but it's trustable to be present for it. It's trustable to study it and learn the information that's there, learn the lessons that are there, learn what needs to be learned from a situation. And so we don't dismiss anything we enter into and be really present for, and come with me, see what happens. So sometimes that's a really useful strategy, and sometimes that's not useful to do that. And it's not useful when, for example, there can be unconscious or subconscious reactivity to that situation that gets triggered by our presence to it. So for example, with fear, some people, when they focus on their fear, and there can be subconscious or unconscious reactions to the fear where they just get more afraid and spiral out to a panic attack. And it's not useful to stay present for fear if you're going to end up, you know, having a panic attack, for example. Or certain kind of fantasies, certain desires. I'm going to really be present for my sexual fantasies. You know, that can be okay. Maybe that can be useful to go into it and find out what's on the other side. And some people have done that to benefit. But some people find that to do that, they just end up spending hours and fantasizing in ways that are not useful, disconnected in a way from life itself. And so being fully present for that maybe is not useful. Maybe there's another approach that's needed. Other kind of fantasies, you know, there can be delusions of grandeur, that all kinds. I'm going to be, when I was a new meditator, when I was 20, I remember I spent a fair amount of time, mostly when I was listening to Dharma talks, not listening to them, but imagining how I was going to give a great Dharma talk.
That we
all do here, yeah.
Here
I am, yeah. So it worked out for me. You know, 35 years later. But you know, so, you know, you can be present for it. If in the wrong way, feeds it. And so if you don't know how to be present in a useful way, it can feed something which is not useful to feed. And so part of the art of mindfulness is to learn how to be present and go into something in a way that's helpful. And how not to feed it, how not to get engaged in it, how not to be lost in it, how not to reinforce it. And so sometimes it takes a while to learn that kind of balanced or non-reactive presence that allows us to go through it. So three approaches. And to ignore or avoid, to let go, or to go into, to study, to investigate. And all three are useful at certain points. All three should be avoided at certain points. And part of your job as a practitioner is to know these three options and to start to kind of getting wise about when it might be useful to use one of them. And one of the ways you get wise is by trial and error, by experimenting. And one of the ways you get wise is by making mistakes, realizing, oh, that didn't work. So try it, explore it, look at your situation through these three ways and see what you learn in the process of using them. So thank you very much for that. And so we have a few minutes for those of you who can help to do the temple cleaning. And before Hillary...